Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Messy Masterpiece Podcast with Chad, Tori, and James.
Hey, good morning.
Another third person on the podcast, another guest. Who would have thought? Well, you guys loved having Chelsea on the podcast last weekend, so I decided to bring one of my best friends on. We're actually visiting him at his house in the Keys right now. Yeah. Welcome, James Bowie.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
He got so nervous right there.
I know. I don't know what to do with it.
Just so you guys know, James let me crash on his couch in New York City, or blow up mattress, I guess you could say, for several months. And we've become super close friends where I would visit him in New York City and he would come visit us in LA. And he was one of my groomsmen in the wedding. He's awesome. And he has given us some of the best wisdom that we've been able to actually share with you all. A lot of the stuff that Tori and I say is actually from James. So now you get to hear it from the horse's
mouth. I'm sorry.
So as always on our special Saturday episodes, we're going to do our devotional and then we're going to jump into an extended long form podcast. And this one's kind of fun because we had different prompts submitted to us by you all through the Messy Masterpiece Podcast Instagram account. And they're covering so many different topics, things with dealing with anxiety, struggling in singleness, impurity, forgiveness. Oh yeah, and also don't forget, we only have two microphones, so Tori and I are sharing one.
Yeah, I'm kind of far away and without headphones, so apologize in advance.
Yeah, we're going to get the hang of this thing once we get a third microphone. But until then, we're going to keep trying to figure this thing out, but let's jump into today's devotional.
Yes, you guys, let's do it. Today, we're reading out of 1 Chronicles 21, verse 8, and it's titled, Getting Right with God. It says, Then David said to God, I have sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt for doing this foolish thing. The love letter from God says, Beloved child, there is nothing that you can do that will stop me from loving you. No wrong you commit can keep you from getting right with me. I adore you, and I know your imperfections. I have a plan for you, and I want to protect that plan. Your actions do not change my feelings towards you. I am God, and my love is unconditional. I want you to be honest and open to me so you can live a life full of joy. See me for who I am and see how powerful my grace is in your life. Come to me and let's make things right. Love your Heavenly Father. The reflection says, The way to feel close to God is to be totally truthful and honest. Truth sets us free, and recognizing that we do indeed need a Savior is the greatest cleansing for a soul. Don't be afraid to get real with God and to confess your weaknesses and wrongdoings. The Treasure of Truth says, when we get real with God, we can get right with God.
I love that because it actually reminds me of the devotional we did yesterday on pure motives. And yeah. It was just one of those situations where it's not like we're ever going to be completely free of impure motives while we're on this side of heaven. And so one of the best things we can do in that situation is to be honest and real with God about those motives that may not be completely pure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think one of the things that I see sometimes happen when people try to start walking with God is then they want to not admit the places that they still fall short.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
true.
Once you get there, you're like, oh, wait, I am not supposed to make these mistakes anymore. David was supposed to be a man after God's own heart. And here he is later on in life doing something where, hey, this is absolutely what he knew not to do.
And he did it anyway.
And we do the same thing.
Absolutely.
But we often struggle with, can I admit that? Mm-hmm. Can I admit my weakness? And I actually think it's really interesting. There's a, if you think in the New Testament, there's this idea of confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Mm-hmm. And I grew up a lot of times thinking about that in terms of, well, I grew up in a very charismatic, and we think about that in terms of, hey, this might be a reason that you don't have physical healing in your body. Mm-hmm. But I wonder sometimes if part of this is also emotional and spiritual healing.
If
you can't admit what's happened,
then you're allowing shame to take root.
Exactly. And then you actually are stopped up in a way.
Totally.
And now you have nothing. You can't grow or contribute because you feel like you're always hiding the thing, the shame.
Yeah.
You're hiding the act. You're hiding your motive. You're hiding all the things and you are no longer transparent. Mm-hmm. And then you look plastic to others.
Yeah. And you're not allowing yourself to experience that unconditional love.
That's right.
You know, you're not like feeling that love when you feel most unloving or unlovable. Unworthy of love.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like, if you're in that moment and now you're like, well, I've got to hide this. It's like you're back in the garden, right? Almost like you're like, right. I have shame. I must cover this thing. And it keeps you separated from God, but it keeps you separated from even just
community,
your best self.
And you, yeah.
Because yeah. Now you've got something you have on the side that you have to protect other people from. And now you're protecting yourself from. Yeah. And it looks, there's like a, I don't know how to think about this. Imagine you've got like a block on a chair or on a desk and you shine a light on it.
Yeah.
And if you shine the light a certain way, the shadow looks huge.
Yep.
And that's what we see a lot of times.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
We
yeah.
see the shadow, not the box.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we start to get honest with it, we actually start to acknowledge the box that's there and we can actually deal with the real thing. And by dealing with it, it may actually be smaller in a lot of ways than what we end up creating in ourselves in that shame that's stopping up so much more. It looks so much bigger. And over time, it looks bigger and bigger and bigger. And you become further and further and further away from being connected with God, but from being connected with each other, from even like identifying with your own purpose and your own value the way that God sees you.
Yeah, I love that because it really does make me think of that example you gave of Adam and Eve in the garden. And whenever they like fastened fig leaves as clothes, and I just love that whenever God confronted them about it, they were like, so God was like, why'd you do that? And he's like, well, it's because we're naked. And he said,
Who told you
that? He challenged something. And so as we are metaphorically fastening fig leaves to cover our shame, the things that we don't want to be revealed, God's like, who's telling you to do that? Mm-hmm. Right? Who is it? Because it's not me. I'm telling you to confess to me. I'm telling you to run to me. I'm telling you that I ran to you.
Yeah.
You know? And I just love that how God is such a picture of how he really embodies, how do I say this? He really embodies how we can run to him because he makes it so accessible by showing how he ran to us. You know what I mean? When you think about the prodigal son and what the father did as he ran to his son, you know, and he took on the shame and different things. And I just love how God is just saying, no, I'm willing to embarrass myself by leave my place at the throne and come pursue you.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's interesting. And I'm not a biblical scholar, but I think it's interesting. Even in that example you gave with the prodigal son and the father who runs to him, the father runs to him with him coming up over the hill, not knowing what he's going to say, not knowing the posture that he's even coming back. Right. He's like, I see my son. I'm going after him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it has this beautiful rest of the story. But
yeah.
I think sometimes we presume that the father knew what the son's posture was going to be. And it was simply that he's coming back at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Chad sharing this with me years ago. But when you look into the context of that story, lifting up your garments to run was actually shameful. And so, you know, when it says he lifted his garments and ran, I mean, it was literally the father taking on shame to like pursue the son that, I mean, had blown everything, you know, like he was in a shameful position. The father's like, no, let me take that. Let me take on your shame and just embrace you and lavish grace all over you.
That's amazing.
It's such an amazing love.
Yeah, I love that, babe. So at this point, we're going to start the long form version of this podcast where we're going to start hitting James with some questions and hopefully he'll have good responses.
Oh my.
Let's start with the easier one, James.
What's easy?
Well, I guess I wouldn't say easy as much as it's like a nice little, it's like you're walking into the pool that is the podcast.
Okay. Let's dive in.
James, do you have any practical tips on how to memorize verses or different scripture in the Bible?
I guess. I mean, I don't know if that's an easy one. I always think of, I mean, the first thing I want to ask whenever I think about a scripture I want to memorize is, why do I want to memorize it? Why is it important to me? Because if you can root something in like your, I call it fascination, but like, what's your motivation? If I can do that and understand what is the core concept I want to remember, number one, that helps me understand and think about it a certain way. Another would be, I think there's like alliteration and like mnemonic devices, or you can start thinking of words that like trip images in your head. Like if it says, talks about being an anchor, like literally think about an anchor as you're trying to memorize it. And that'll help you actually create, I almost think of it like you're trying to create a mental net. And that the more different pieces of rope by having those links, the more likely you'll be able to recall it because it'll have been captured in that net.
Yeah, that's so good. I've never thought about it like that. The one practical random thing I learned forever ago, probably in middle school when I had to memorize verses for school, was I would write the first letter of each word in the verse on my hand. And throughout the day, I would see if I could memorize, you know, because if I'm trying to think of a word and I know that it starts with D or whatever, then it'll jog my memory.
That's perfect. And there's a visual cue the whole day.
Yes, 100%. And so I just keep it on there for a day or two and then see if by the end of the day I could recite it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It was a fun little
I like that thing. Answer better. I thought that was supposed to be easy.
Yeah.
Tori wins.
Yeah. Well, Tori always wins. Let's just be clear about that. That's just, I knew that in getting married to her. So here's one that I think you actually may be really passionate about, and it's more of a topic than a question. And so feel free to do with it what you will. Loving the unlovable.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's deep. We're going deep. Yeah.
So now do you understand why I said the other one was easy?
Okay. No. Yeah. I like this. I mean, so how do you love the unlovable? I think the first thing I always think of is the fact that that's who I am sometimes. We did this thing when I used to live in Tulsa. Shout out to Tulsa. And we did it, we called family dinner night, and we had a group of people get together. It was 18 of us, and we spent several weeks where each person got to share a little bit of their story. They shared 30 minutes of their story, and we do look at dinner together, cool. Two people each time.
I love that.
Yeah, and we got to hear people's dark moments.
Yeah.
We got to hear some of the things that people struggle with. Now, we tried to make it where it was something someone had been through so we mm-hmm. could talk about being on the other side. It wasn't a time to, like, just unpack everything.
Right.
But when we got to the end, we started thinking about, like, what do we take from this? And one of the things that we took from it was we said, we're hearing each other in our after.
Yes.
And when we shared these stories, we told you about our before.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to encounter people who are in their before.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to encounter people before they've had a chance. And
yeah.
Hearing each other's stories, now maybe we might be able to identify with somebody a little bit differently than we did before. We might also be able to connect them with somebody. Because I think it's interesting that when Jesus gives the command, he says, like, hey, the fields are white unto harvest. He has this idea that, hey, there's all these people who are ready to come in. He doesn't tell them to pray, here am I, send me. Which we think, I think sometimes that's what Isaiah prays. Like,
yeah.
But he says, pray that the Lord will send laborers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so, like, it's not always me to do everything. I'm not that. But
yeah.
Now that I knew these other people, maybe I could connect somebody. Or yes. Maybe now I understand in a different way what they might be going through. But the first thing I always think is, like, everyone has a story. Everyone comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And if that somewhere makes you uncomfortable, that's okay. Acknowledge. Don't. I don't know.
It.
Yeah, yeah. And don't pretend you're not uncomfortable. Right. Don't pretend you're not uncomfortable.
Right.
Because you are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you fake all that stuff. That's, I mean, just like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
You know, faking it doesn't really help anything.
Right.
But if you then say, look, that's true, but that's not the whole story. This person has another story too.
Mm-hmm.
And give them space to be and to be flawed. If you think that you're completely loved, or if you the more that you understand that you're completely loved, in your before, you were completely loved no matter what you did with Christ. You were completely loved.
Yeah.
Then can you start to see other people that way? And if you mm-hmm. can't, then I think sometimes what I suggest is then you say, okay, then I'm going to look at you.
Right.
And think about how you perceive this person.
Yeah.
And even if I can't right now,
mm-hmm.
I want to see how you do. And because mm-hmm. you're my friend, we become like our friends.
Right.
When I start seeing how you be, like, I can't help but think that as I get to know you, I love that attribute of you, that you love everybody.
Right.
Yeah. And the more that I look at you, the more I'm compelled that I'm like, I don't really like the part of me that doesn't love that. The unlovable.
Right.
Because I'm so compelled by how you love the unlovable.
Yeah.
And then that starts to change how I want to behave. And it, maybe it's not immediate.
Yeah.
But it starts to go through that process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like that's a friendship.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of times on the podcast we talk about praying the prayer, like, God, align my heart with yours. And even in a previous podcast, I don't know if it was yesterday, the day before, but we're like, okay, delight in the Lord first and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But people take out the, like, delight in the Lord part and they just take the, like, give you the desires of your heart. And I feel like it aligns with what you're saying. It's like, the more we know the heart of God, the more we see people like God does.
Absolutely.
You know, the more we can love the unlovable. But we can't skip that first part. Like, we can't love the unlovable until we know who love is, you know, like until Absolutely. We really experience that with God.
What I think is interesting too is then and what you're saying is sometimes, in fact, when you start to delight in the Lord, the desires you have.
Oh, they change.
Change.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Praise God.
Yeah. And then you're right? like, whoa. Yeah. And then in the end, you're like, oh, I like these desires better than I thought I had.
They're way better than the selfish, just worldly ones I had previously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that because whenever you guys were just talking about this, I was thinking about the word delight, you know, versus like, I think what we want to read whenever we think about that scripture is, you know, like worship the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, which is like show God you're thankful and he'll give you everything that you want. Where whenever you delight in something, like James just made us cookies. I'm delighted in that because I love what he did. I love what he's doing.
I burned the cookies.
He burned the first batch.
We made a second batch. It's fine.
I did not delight in the first batch of cookies.
No one did.
But, you know, I'm happy with what you're doing. And so we need to be happy with what God is doing. We need to pursue that.
That's interesting. I mean, sometimes I've wondered when we get sort of formulaic, like, I'm going to do A, then God will have to do B. And then I can get what I want,
totally.
C.
Totally. It's selfish. Right.
But to your point, like when you start saying delight, you're like, wait a minute, I actually have to change this from trying to fulfill some sort of obligation and actually like find the piece of you that I enjoy and get to know that. And I think about it, even in relationships, I'm manipulating somebody if I start trying to tell them things that they want to hear in order to get an outcome.
Yeah.
And as soon as I start changing it to like, no, I recognize you are who you are. And that's something that's really been challenging to me actually lately in life has been, when I start to say, how do I get God to do my thing? And start and start looking at myself and go, wait a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What am I really doing here? Am I trying? And also just to say, God is not just the other side of a book. Mm-hmm. He actually, there's some people, like you talk about the force or you talk about the some ethereal spirit. And we don't actually think of God sometimes as a person, or some people don't want to. But one of the challenges in knowing God as a person is that persons have personalities.
Yeah.
And persons with personalities have things they like and things they dislike.
Right.
And we have to start. I was thinking about my brother. We have a very different view in life. And he's super cool. But I'm just saying, like, we think about certain things very, very differently.
Yeah.
And at some point I had to say, it's not my job to change my brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get him to see things my way.
Yeah.
It's actually my job to love him as he is,
right. Yeah.
And get to know those pieces of him and start to love and value him as my brother in that way.
Right.
The same thing with God is like, it's not my job to change God so that he likes the things that I like, or I can convince him of my way. It's to go, oh, there are things that you like and dislike.
Yeah.
And in fact, you're not changing.
Yeah.
And so I need to get to know you in that context. I need to get to know you as you are and actually find the things about you that I delight in.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, wow, this is something super cool about you. Mm-hmm. I'm not just trying to put words out there. I'm actually getting to know the person. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're going to go into the next kind of prompt. And I saw this in there three different times in like the little question box. And it was just written differently. But it's, how to break bad habits / get out of a sinful lifestyle. But the general consensus was
three times.
Yeah, right. I think the general consensus was, is how do you start building better habits or break away from temptation, stuff like that.
I mean, I think you started with part of it, right? Which is you don't think about ending one thing. You think about beginning something better.
Right. That's so good. Yeah.
I think there's scripture, and this is something I feel like maybe we're trying to confront me with stuff. I don't know. There's scripture that talks about one of the things that makes us different from the animals. And this is a really weird tie-in.
Go for it.
But it's that the animals behave on instinct, and we make choices.
Yeah.
You are not your feelings. You are not even the bad choices that you make.
Right.
You are a human who's endowed with the ability to make choices and to also confess sin.
Right.
And there's scripture that talks about like one of the things that happens to us is that we give in to our appetites. And there's even, it calls it like their God is their belly is the way that one of the scriptures puts it. And I'm like, when you think about your God is your belly, it's like, whenever I feel like I want X, I just give in to it.
I'm craving this.
When does that ever work out well?
It doesn't. Yeah.
So I think sometimes we think that sin this, we've given this meaning, but I think sometimes hidden in a lot of our thoughts is, this is the thing I wish I could get away with.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we think that God is like, here, I'm going to create some really crazy rules just to see if they'll follow it, just to see if they can prove that they love me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's it at all. Like, I think God looks at it, he goes, I care so much about you. I want you to know that there are things that you will do that will cause you harm.
Yeah. And maybe it won't. Pain. Yeah.
Exactly. And maybe it won't be right in this moment, but it'll cause pain to you or pain to others or raise the risk of pain.
Yeah.
And so this is why I don't want to do it. And so I think sometimes when we get into some of the sinful habits and so on and so forth, we just haven't bought into that yet.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the times you lean in, you go like, hey God, I don't get this.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I'm struggling with. I want to be honest and open with you, like David was. We talked about earlier in this discussion. They're like, hey, here's this thing that you told me not to do, and I actually just decided this is something that was really important to me. He gave into an appetite there.
Right. Yeah.
And
then he regretted it.
He regretted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we were talking about this actually today, and we were talking about, obviously a lot of y'all have been following along with our like trying to get pregnant journey, I guess you could say. But I was telling Chad, I was like, you know, it's so cool. I'm excited to have those moments as a parent that you understand God in a better way of like that parental love, and like your kid's going to think you're crazy. Right. And they're like, why are all these rules in place? But it's because you actually like love and care for them, and you see them differently. Absolutely. You know better than they do. And I'm like, it's going to be like some of the coolest moments to understand God in a different respect. And I do think that a lot of this comes down to who we see God as, you know, like when we actually believe he's a good father, when we actually believe he's for us, like when we actually believe that he's trying to protect us. That's and that good. These rules are like for our benefit, not to like leave us out, like we're going to miss out on things. I think that helps. But also to your point of like the craving, you know, the more we eat chocolate, the more we're going to crave chocolate.
Absolutely.
You know, the more we read God's word and we're refreshed by it, the more we want to dig into it, you know? And so it's like these little micro choices that we make every single day,
they add up,
they get bigger.
Absolutely.
And these cravings continue. And we're like, okay, well, this craving leads this direction and this craving leads this direction. And we have the choice to which road do we want to take?
You know, the other thing that makes me think of, back in college, we were in a group and we had to think about, it was a sort of it was a resident advisor program, but I actually went to a Christian school. And so there was a tweak on it. We had this discussion. We said that one of the best indicators of internal accountability is external accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so that, not that you should rely on people on the outside to be your entire framework for your life. But one of the things that we should do is we should be putting people in place that we trust, that we can be honest with, who can hold us accountable. And I mean, if you look at like AA, if you look at these recovery programs, one of the biggest things you do is you have accountability.
Yeah.
And that accountability helps you be strong. There's a verse, like a cord of three strands is not easily broken.
Yeah. I love what you're saying too, because, and I don't want to like freak people out, but I have attended an AA meeting for a counseling class I was a part of. And I remember watching people stand up and share, this is who I am and this is what I struggle with. And it was that external confession. It was that external accountability you just mentioned. And it's just, it's amazing how whenever, like the nervousness that you can have as you're sitting there waiting your turn, and then as you stand up and you feel embraced by people in something that you don't think you should feel embraced in, and you feel loved. And you wouldn't think that confessing externally something that you struggle with would be something that you feel better about.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, now people are going to judge me.
So. And that's, Tori just said it goes back to loving the unlovable part. And I think that's right. It made me think we struggle with being known and loved and believing that the more that we're known, we could still be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this incredible posture, and I think it's a posture of humility, and it goes to confession. I was on a train at one point, and I was talking to people in different languages, and I don't speak different languages, so it was a little challenging. But the guy was speaking in Brazilian Portuguese, talking to somebody who was speaking Spanish, and I speak just enough Spanish to get by. The Brazilian Portuguese guy was speaking in as much Spanish as he could. This was our common language.
Yeah.
And he was talking to this other guy. And this guy, we were moving in a train. And I promise it was like he was rooted to the ground. It's like he was connected, grounded. And it made him powerful. And what it was, he was talking about how he had been dealing in the past with an addiction with mm-hmm. smoking.
Yeah.
And he has been maybe 10 years since he's had a cigarette. But he still talks about it in a way that it was acknowledging his weakness.
Oh, wow.
But it was so powerful.
It was powerful.
His humility was stronger than faking strength.
Yeah. I love that.
His ability to say, I wrestle with this, actually made him accessible, but it made him powerful. Yeah. I think we sometimes misunderstand humility, the incredible power and groundedness of humility. Because at that point, you do know that you are known in all of your faults and failures and loved completely. And so because you have such a strong sense of identity, you're not afraid to admit that weakness to be around others and be able to also be then something that someone else can then like sort of identify with you, and you could help them along in their own struggle.
Yeah, I love that. It really does make me think of, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Mm,
that's really good.
It really, you know, because that was a verse I was saved to. And I remember whenever I had finally admitted how weak I was, and I accepted the strength of the Lord, and I embraced it, and I received it, and I felt it. The things that were making me feel so terrible, the things that made me feel so less than and unworthy, didn't mean anything because I felt so embraced inside of them that I did gain strength.
How upside down is that?
It is upside down. It's crazy. So now we're going to go continue this conversation over on our Patreon, which you can find the link in the description of this podcast. And we're going to have James pray us on out.
All right, here we go. Oh God, thank you so much for the way that you love us. Thank you that you see us. You see all of the doors that we have closed that we think we're hiding. Where we think we're hiding ourselves. We think we're hiding our struggle. We think we're hiding the things that we're ashamed of. God, I thank you that you already see. You already know. You've already forgiven. You are just waiting for us to open up. God, I pray that you give us the boldness and the courage to trust you. God, I pray that you surround us with people who say the thing. I pray that you would use other people's voices around us to remind us and encourage us in the things that you have been talking to us even today. And for those people who are spreading lies, sometimes not even knowing it, they're saying things that are counter to what you want us to hear. They're not like the voice of the shepherd. They're not your voice. I pray that you help us to forget those things. I thank you that you help us to put them in a place where we can analyze them, look at them and say, no, this isn't actually the voice of God. This isn't actually who I am. This isn't who he sees me as. This isn't the value that he's placed on me. And yes, these are things about me that maybe I struggle with. These are things that I have problems with, and I'm going to admit them openly like David did. I'm just going to realize and recognize the places in my life that I struggle. I'm not going to hide those from you. And God, I thank you that you then see us in those moments and you say, I love you. God, I ask you to help us to hear your voice. I pray that you help us to hear the voice of the shepherd. I thank you that you are the one who comes alongside us to help us. You are the one, you're everything about you has always been to redeem us. Thank you for the way that you love us. I pray that you remind us this week. I pray that you remind us in new ways. I pray that something happens this week even for each of us that we just go, you know what? I remember how much you love me. And then God, help us to have conversations with you, to talk to you like you're our friend, to get to know you as our friend, to delight in you as our friend. And let that change us the way that our friends change us. And let that change the way that we see other people and that we can see them and ourselves in our before. And know that you see us that way and you love us that way and you're walking with us into our after. We love you and we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen, God. Amen, God. I love it. So Tori and I actually have really fun news. A few of you have noticed that we have a different worship song playing, and actually you've asked where it's from. It's actually from our friend Landon Merrill, and there's a link to, I think, the Spotify link in the podcast description if you want to go check out his worship song. But the reason we're putting it at the very end here is so that if you want to continue in prayer, you can just pray while you're listening to his wonderful worship song.
And if you want to continue this conversation with us, make sure to join us over on Patreon. And if you're not over there yet, no worries at all. We'll be talking to you guys tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow. Au revoir.
Stumbling through this season, taking steps in the dark. I'm hurting now, need your light somehow. Turn on the lights and guide the way. Illuminate these difficult days. So cover me in the blood and heal my open wounds. I'm desperate for your limitless love. Wash my sin white as snow. Obliterate my past mistakes. So cover me in the blood and heal my open wounds. I'm desperate for your limitless love. So cover me. And heal my open wounds. I'm desperate for your limitless love. Love so abounding. Love so pure. Love so abounding. We will endure. Love so abounding, love so pure, love so abounding, we will endure. So cover me in the blood and heal my open wounds. I'm desperate for your limitless love.